Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, December 3rd. This is from a report by Spencer McKee on the website Out There Colorado. Snow is stacking up around the state with considerable avalanche risk present in several regions. With more than 30 inches of snow hitting parts of the state in less than 24 hours and more in surrounding days, be hyper aware of conditions prior to entering the back country. Detailed in the reports featured on Colorado Avalanche Information Center, 48 separate avalanche incidents were reported between Saturday and Sunday. A large portion of these avalanches took place in the San Juan Mountains, in spots like Red Mountain Pass and Wolf Creek Pass. Loveland Pass also saw several slides, as did the Aspen area. No known injuries have been reported. The largest avalanche by rating happened on Wolf Creek Pass in the Rusty's Slide area. The slide was large relative to the size of its path, and the slide was capable of burying or killing people if they were in the way. Avalanches occurring around the state were triggered by a variety of factors, including natural slides, artillery fire, skiers, and snowcats. And according to the CAIC, the avalanche danger is rated as considerable for today in the regions of Aspen, Gunnison, the northern San Juans, and the southern San Juans. Last week, we heard about the United States Capitol Christmas tree and how next year it will come from the western slope for the first time. The U.S. Forest Service will conduct a year-long process of identifying and removing the tree from somewhere in the Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests. It will then go on a long whistle-stop tour of the country before being situated on the west lawn of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. While not all Christmas trees will go through such a detailed process, growing Christmas trees that only get sold in 1 month is still a year-round process, especially for the small families that operate most Christmas tree farms in the country. Rod Bain for the U.S. Department of Agriculture tells us that consumers enjoy Christmas trees for a relatively short time compared to the year-long work of tree farmers to produce these holiday staples.
Many this holiday season will enjoy the fresh-cut product in our homes, businesses, schools, community centers, and places of worship. And yes,
we think of Christmas trees in the winter around Christmas time. We don't think about them as a year-round farm operation.
That's Melissa Plockelman of the National Farm Medicine Center in Wisconsin, who says just like many farm and ranch operations in the U.S., several tree farms, Christmas tree farms for that matter, are family-owned and operated. The American Tree Farm System alone reports 74,000 tree farmers in their organization, managing over 20 million acres of forest. And that means farmers and family members, including youth, are involved in the day-to-day task of the operation all year long.
There's a lot of different parts and a lot of different aspects to Christmas tree farming that we don't often think about as consumers when we go buy our Christmas tree.
So for instance,
in the spring, the trees needed to be weeded around the tree so that that grass doesn't grow up and take up all the nutrients.
In the event pest control is needed to protect the health of trees on the farm,
if there is some kind of insect or bug that might harm that Christmas tree, that there might have to be some pesticides that are sprayed.
We at home may associate trimming the Christmas tree as the decorating of our holiday icon once it arrives home or wherever it will spend the season. But Plockelman says trimming on a tree farm literally means just that, particularly in the summer months.
Trim those trees to make them the perfect shape.
Then in the fall and winter months to get those Christmas trees ready for sale.
They're cutting those trees down, and a lot of times those trees go through a baler.
Now Plockelman, as a farm safety expert, says youth working on tree farms are involved in many of the tasks mentioned, particularly trimming trees and working with balers. That is where decisions by parents, supervisors, adults in areas such as maturity and physical skill level of the youth to handle a specific task and the education of proper equipment handling, safety, and dress for the task and weather can assure their work is done properly and safely. And in turn, allow us to enjoy the magic of the Christmas tree wherever we live, work, or visit during this holiday season. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And here's another story from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. A recent panel discussion focused on the farm economy.
The farm economy of the present, and what could be done to avoid the farm crisis of the 1980s. That was the topic of a recent panel discussion before farm broadcasters, moderated by someone with great familiarity with the 1980s from a farm and policy perspective, former Agriculture Secretary and Illinois farmer John Block.
I had two farmer friends of mine in my county. They got into so much trouble with 18% interest that they had to go bankrupt. They survived later, but that's how bad it was.
So what is available to the ag sector to avoid an economic repeat of three decades ago? Farm Service Agency Kansas State Director David Shem pointed to differences in farm policy and programs from the 1980s to today, such as with farm safety net programs, like agricultural risk coverage and price loss coverage.
We have a flexibility in them that allows our producers to do best what they have done for so many years, and that's called adapt to the challenges they face.
Longtime independent grain market analyst Dale Dirchholz says low commodity prices is something both the 1980s and the present have in common. Yet three decades ago, the newly created Conservation Reserve Program was the policy catalyst to improve the farm economy.
We took 30 million acres out of production in a span of about 3 years, and that really lifted us out of the problems we had back then.
Yet he adds the integration of both ag and ag policy on the global scale creates challenges to implement a similar tactic to boost farm economies. Dirchholz and Missouri farmer Garrett Rykoff believe instead of policy, advances in technology and analytics may be the driver that pulls the ag economy to a better position. Rykoff himself notes some of the advances today compared to when his father operated the family farm in the 1980s.
This notion of weatherproofing your crop. Many of these attachments do in-season fertility. We can do no-till. Just-in-time aerial application is much more common. Those things were not being done when my dad was my age. I'm certain that's going to give me a leg up.
And says the use of analytics will grow in importance as producers like himself deal with what he calls razor-thin margins to get through to the next uptick in the farm economy. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, December 3rd. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.